This is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano.
Our team will be built around a humble, unselfish attitude of sacrifice.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And we welcome you in on this Monday night here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Another frustrating Sunday afternoon as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers battled the Philadelphia Eagles, only to come up a couple of points short. 23-21, Philadelphia victorious in the game on Sunday. And obviously, we look forward to talking about this, breaking it down, taking your phone calls, and much more. But first things first, let's take a look at the highlights and give a listen to some of the exciting plays, certainly from Sunday's game, a game full of excitement. And once again, a Buccaneer game that goes down to the fourth quarter. Say this, the games, they have all been exciting. They have all been battles. Not all of them have worked out the way that we would want for the Buccaneers. But in this particular case, it was no different than the previous 11 games where the Bucs were right in there at the very end. Now, first quarter of this game, not a lot happened, obviously, offensively for either team. In fact, there were 7 punts in quarter number one. But the Buccaneers did play some solid defense, getting after rookie quarterback Nick Foles, including on this play right here.
Third down and 4, the mark to make the 30-yard line from the 16, moving right, shotgun formation. Here's the snap. Bucks with a 4-man rush, pressure coming. Foles is going to be lassoed down, and he's dropped by Gerald McCoy. G-Mac, I saw his dad before the game, and McCoy gets a quarterback sack.
Gerald McCoy's first sack on the day there forced one of those punting situations. A little bit later on in quarter number one, it was Michael Bennett getting into the act, this time off that defensive line.
Third down and 10. 3 wide receivers, Macklin, Avant, and Cooper. Out of the shotgun, again pressure coming.
Oh, yeah.
Foles is in the grab. He's sacked in the backfield for the second time. Michael Bennett's got his 9th sack of the season.
Well, and Gene Deckerhoff here with the calls. And if you could not tell that, yeah, there in the background, Warren Sapp, part of the Super Bowl reunion crew that was in town for the halftime ceremony, was up in the broadcast booth with us there for that first half. And in the first quarter in particular, was liking that defensive pressure. I'm sure it was taking him back to the days of that Buccaneer defense and Raymond James Stadium that we saw back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. So again, this one by no means was a Picasso on offense on either side of the ball. Bucks having trouble getting something going. Eagles not able to get much going. So the end result is that the Buccaneers punt the football actually the first 5 times that they had it. Now, eventually, Philadelphia would make something happen. They finally were able to put a drive together and get a field goal, an Alex Henry 28-yard field goal to lead 3-0. Then late in the first half, Nick Foles scrambled in for a touchdown from 10 yards out, capping off an 80-yard, 7-play drive. So Philadelphia led 10-0 at intermission in this game. And finally, in half number 2, some plays would start going the Buccaneers' way. It would start first here on special teams in punt formation in the third quarter.
Well, the 8th punt of the game by Kanan. Boy, he hangs one high in the air. And a fair catch. Oh, it's football. It's recovered by the Buccaneers inside the 5-yard line. Was it muffed? I think it was touched.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was touched, and Dakota Watson was there to jump on the football. Bucks should have it. Official still to cuss, and now they say Buck football.
Indeed, it was Buck football at that moment, as again, Damaris Johnson, the player for Philadelphia, back deep on the punt, couldn't handle it. Dakota Watson comes up with the ball at the 5-yard line. A couple of plays later, that would lead to 3rd and goal at the 1.
Shotgun formation. Jamon Meredith, by the way, back in there at right guard. Doug Martin, the sidecar right. Freeman on the far side. It is caught. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Great throw to Mike Williams, and he hangs on, battled at a fender on his back and made the catch on the box. Finally score with 11:35 to go. It's 10-6 in the third quarter.
So again, as Gene was saying, Buccaneers finally on the board there. Again, it only needed 3 plays there to go the 5 yards and get the touchdown. And it got the crowd obviously involved in the game right after that halftime ceremony had taken place with the 2002 Super Bowl champion team. And for Mike Williams, already his 21st career touchdown for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he has just been outstanding in and around the goal line, jump ball situations, whatever the case is. Josh Freeman having a lot of confidence with him, especially down around the red zone. Just throw it up, let him make a play, let him go get it. All right, so we would continue continue in the third quarter. The Eagles again had a drive going, were able to make a couple of plays in the pass game, one to Jason Avant for 23 yards, another play to the tight end Harbor for 9 yards. They got into scoring position but missed a field goal. Buccaneers got the ball back, were forced to punt again, and then the Buccaneer defense once again coming up large, and one more time, Gerald McCoy was one of those guys contributing.
11:27 left in the third quarter. They begin this drive at their 40-yard line. Good drive start position. Here's the snap, falls of the shotgun under pressure. He's hit! He's crunched! He's clobbered by Gerald McCoy! Wow! What did Warren Sapp tell G-Mac before the game? That's his second quarterback sack.
Third multi-sack game of Gerald McCoy's career. And again, the Buccaneers would come up on the day with 6 sacks in the football game, a season high to this point. So again, Buccaneer defense doing its job. They got the ball with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter and began a march that would result in 7 points starting at their own 23-yard line. A big pass play to Vincent Jackson for 40 yards. Doug Martin with a couple of good runs, including a 9-yarder. Eventually inside the red zone, it would be second down. Now into the fourth quarter. On the second down play, the Buccaneers would get their first lead of the day.
They've got to, Josh. Good move right there by getting the end zone. Good job, V-Jack.
Can I say touchdown, Tampa Bay?
Touchdown.
Fire Jackson. The cannons.
Fire those cannons. There you go, and the Bucs lead for the first time today. You guys were telling such a great word picture. I wasn't going to interfere, but I want to say touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Derek Brooks there laughing early on there in the fourth quarter as he joined Gene and Dave up in the broadcast booth. And for Vincent Jackson, yet another huge game for him was in progress in that second half. The 11-yard touchdown capping a 77-yard, 9-play drive that took 3:48 off the clock at the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. And really, at this point in the game, momentum clearly on the Buccaneers' side at 14-10. Defense would come back out aggressive once more, hold Philadelphia to a 3-and-out and to a punt, and then the Buccaneer run game would take over. Doug Martin running for 7 yards, then Doug Martin running for 11 yards in this situation. A third down play where Freeman found Vincent Jackson for 28 more yards. And then it was Doug Martin time. 3 straight carries for Doug as the Bucs moved into the red zone. The third and final carry would be right here on third down.
Third down and 2 from the 3. Hand off Doug Martin running left. Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
Quick hitter off left guard. Martin's in the promised land with his 10th touchdown of the season, and the Bucs lead 20-10.
So Doug Martin gets in to cap the 75-yard 11-play drive. Again, a time-consuming drive, took a lot of the clock away in that fourth quarter. Best possible outcome with a touchdown there and a 21-10 lead. So Eagles would go back on offense, and early on in the series, the Buccaneers trying to get some pass rush going here in this situation and would once again go to Michael Bennett.
The snap out of the gun, Foles looks
under pressure. He goes down to the 32-yard line. Flying through the air was Michael Bennett.
And the reason,
Bennett's got 2 sacks in the game. He's got 9 on the season.
And
all right, and again, as Derek Brooks and Gene and Dave were calling it there, Michael Bennett with a multiple sack game. This means that Bennett and McCoy with 4 sacks each and also with a combined 5 more tackles for loss in this game, 2 tremendous performances on that defensive line. Again, the Buccaneers with 6 sacks total in the game. Unfortunately, though, for the Philadelphia Eagles, unfortunately for the Buccaneers, the Eagles would not give up. Nick Foles would lead them down the field on a touchdown drive of 72 yards and 8 plays, get into the end zone. Buccaneers stopped the 2-point conversion, the game 21-16, and then the Buccaneers unable to get one last first down. Got 1 first down, eventually had to punt the ball away, and then finally Philadelphia moved into scoring position, converting a 4th down a couple of times, and then the game-winning touchdown pass that you're probably aware of on the final play of the game, Foles finding Jeremy Maclin in the corner of the end zone for the final margin, 23-21 on this Sunday. And again, for the Bucs, Doug Martin becomes the all-time rookie rushing leader in a single season. Still 3 games to go, passing Cadillac Williams with his rushing performance on Sunday. Just not quite enough in the end as the game finishes 23-21. And with that, we say hello here to head coach Greg Schiano and another tough battle, and unfortunately, in the end, the Philadelphia Eagles able to make the last play on the final play there of the game. You've now had some time to look this one over. What are a couple of opening thoughts from you about the way that this game came down to the final play as it did?
Well, it's disappointing. You know, we came out and didn't quite have it going offensively in the first half and go in at halftime, you know, behind and come out and kind of regroup, start over, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, find ourselves up 21-10 in good position. And then it slipped away. And, you know, I don't want to say let it slip away because Philadelphia had a lot to do with that. I don't like when teams discount someone else's effort. They did a heck of a job, Nick Foles did, and they did better than we did. They coached better, they played better, and at the end of the day, we're all held accountable for that, you know, and that one hurts a lot, but we wrapped it up today with the players, and now we're moving on to New Orleans, and we got to get ready because they, too, got bruised, and it's going to be a battle of two teams that are fighting for their life, so... I'm excited about it. Can't wait to play again, but I don't want to wish away time. We need to prepare and get ready, and I know we'll talk more about this game, but very disappointing one that we got to put behind us and move forward now because let one get away, and they took it away. That's the bad thing.
One thing, we talked to you at halftime, and the offense had trouble obviously getting on track. You said we need to settle down and do the things that we do well, and obviously you were able to do that in the third quarter of this game, and you put together even a couple of long drives into the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. Now, again, with the luxury of looking back on the tape, what were you doing well there to finally put the points on the board, in particular the second and the third touchdowns where you had long scoring drives, Coach?
I think it was more what weren't we doing. You know, we weren't, you know, first play of the game, we fumble the handoff. So now it's second and 14. You know, if you go through those first half offensive series, we got it going a little bit, then we'd make a mistake, you know, whether it's a holding penalty or a false start, you know, whatever it is. And self-inflicted wounds, again, why do you self-inflict? You know, usually the opponent is playing pretty hard and forcing you to do things you normally wouldn't do. So I just felt like we were racing a little bit, though, you know, ahead of ourselves a step. We had some open receivers. We missed by a step or two, those kind of things. And I think what we did offensively is we got inside, calmed down, and came out and played, you know, buck offense, put 21 points on the board. Now, granted, one of them was off a muff punt, so it was a 6-yard drive. But, you know, that's part of the game as well. And just disappointing. But you know what? There's enough there. We ran the ball well. We took care of the football. We didn't turn it over at all. You know, enough there that you say, hey, we're continuing to make progress. We're just doing some things that are kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
And again, we will have more here with the head coach, including your phone calls. It is Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us on this Monday night. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we welcome you back in. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on this Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. As head coach Greg Schiano is with us, we will take your phone calls coming up. You can dial us up at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And you can dial us toll-free wherever you can hear the show outside of the Tampa Bay area. Do so at 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free. Also, if you want to tweet a question or comment, you can do so at Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucks Sideline Guy, there for your Twitter questions and comments. And we put a wrap on the Eagles game here in just a moment or two and then get ready to look ahead to the New Orleans Saints. We were talking just before the break about being able to get the offense back on track. Go back to the first half. Your defense played really well for a lot of that first half, able to limit their run game, really the entire game, able to get a lot of pressure on Nick Foles. Again, with the luxury now, Coach, of going back and looking at the game tape, what were you doing well in half number one in particular on defense and being able to slow down the Eagles for a lot of that first half?
Well, coming out of the gate, you know, it was great. I mean, we got 2-3 and outs right off the bat and ended up 5 series in a row where they punted. But unfortunately, we were doing the same, so we were just trading the ball back and forth. And then they got on the scoreboard with the field goal, you know, and that was a 9-play drive. That, some penalties, some things, but at the end of the day, they score 3, and then we get the ball back and punt, and then they come back and score 7. So we're down 10-0, and, you know, we made some mistakes again, they made the plays, though. When, you know, one thing is you make a mistake, does the other guy capitalize on it? There's a lot of mistakes made that no one ever even sees or knows about. And to their credit, they capitalized.
Two guys that we were highlighting, obviously, with respect to the pass rush, the tackles for losses, Gerald McCoy and Michael Bennett. Just talk about the way that they played in particular. Defensive line as a whole, you had six sacks, but those two guys had four of the sacks between them. Just talk a little more about the way they played.
Well, I thought they played well. I mean, when you have six sacks, obviously the defensive line is getting after it. 29 yards total rushing, I think it was, or 23, whatever it was, some low number. But at the end of the day, we'd have to do it better. You know, Nick Foles scrambled around a little bit. When we blitz, we got to make sure we take care of our assignments. But I was, overall pleased with the defensive lineman's performance.
Okay, now towards the end of the game, there's been a lot of conversation, and I know you were talking about this earlier today at your news conference. You had the ball with about 2:30, 2:40 on the clock. They have a timeout. They have the two-minute warning. There is a third down. Just take me through your thought process there, because I know you were saying earlier today there's a lot involved into the decision about what do we do with this third down. So take me back to that moment there with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game.
Well, there is a lot, there's a lot involved there, and you have to take every game and every situation as its own entity. There's no stock answer, like this is what you do, 3rd and 8 with this much time. You know, anybody who wants to do that takes the football game out of the football game. And there's a lot of things that you have to, process throughout the game, and now all of a sudden you have to make a decision with that information. And, up until that point I thought, playing pretty good defense – and being able to get after the quarterback, with six sacks on the books and now we know they're throwing. I think we're going to have a chance if we don't make the first down doing what we did. We're going to suck more time off the clock and either, send them into under 2 minutes or right around 2 minutes with one timeout or no timeouts when we give them the ball. And unfortunately, we didn't hit a great punt, which I thought, that's very rare for Mike for that to happen. And everybody has a bad play. So, that's not knocking Mike because he's been aces all year long. And we get a 30-yard punt, so they get better field position than we thought they would. But still, it doesn't matter. They still got to go the distance to score a touchdown. And we had plenty of opportunities to make the stop, and we didn't. So, in retrospect, in that game with a rookie quarterback, I think you make him beat you rather than risk a turnover. And some would say, well, you have all the – I hear you. We got receiving threats and we have – but when you put the ball in the air, there is the risk that it can get tipped. It could – there's a lot of things that could happen, and I'd rather put the onus on that rookie quarterback. And as it turns out, he did a heck of a job. He moved the team down the field and ended up scoring the touchdown on that last play of the game. And you live with that. You make decisions and you live with them. But in this instance, I don't think I'd do it differently.
The final sequence there, they complete a 4th down pass. The clock is running. They don't have a timeout. They're able to spike the ball. You then chose to take a timeout. Again, just take me into that sequence there, because obviously you wanted to make sure your guys are set on defense. But just take me through that, because, again, there's a couple of wild things happening there where the clock is rolling. They're trying to clock it, and there's different personnel and that kind of thing that you might be thinking about, right?
Well, it's not. It had nothing to do with our guys being ready, because our guys would be ready. You make the call, they're ready to play it. There's a whole bunch of strategy that goes into that, and it's the old basketball analogy. You either let the game play or you call timeout. You get a look at what they're going to do and you call timeout. So there's different ways to play that. We've played it both ways, and we will play it both ways. But without going into too much strategy, in retrospect, it didn't work, so
sure.
Then the other way might have been the better way this time. But I don't think that's the case. I think we need to do some things better on that last play. But quite frankly, I don't think we should ever be at that last play. We are, and you got to live with it. But we have opportunities, several on that drive, where you can end the game, and we didn't.
Yeah, and that's one of those where, once again, you can look at them, but Danny Gore, for example, is one of those plays, and Danny, to his credit after the game, said, hey, got to make that play, because that interception, if it's made with 30 seconds left, is the end of the game there in that instance. And Some of this you've got to credit the Eagles, though, too. And I know you warned us, and the players were talking about this all week. They're paid to make plays. And Nick Foles, rookie or not, and those guys, I mean, they made plays at the end of this game, right?
Yeah, they made them the week before as well against the Cowboys. This is not a team that wasn't making plays. So, you know, we took away one of their big threats in Bryce. And but Foles ended up getting us and the receivers, you know, and hey, that's the way it goes. And unfortunately, it was a big game for us and a critical game for us, but nothing you can do about it now except learn from it, you know, and the collective experiences that we have together, you know, they're going to be the foundation of what we do in the future. And but right now we got to regroup because the future's Sunday. It's at New Orleans and we got to be ready.
All right. On that note, we will take your phone calls now. We will go to the phones and start in Hudson with Greg. You are up first here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Greg.
Hey. Hi, coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy that you came to the Bucs. And we actually needed a real coach like you because Raheem Morris, he wasn't a real coach. He acted like buddies with them. And I'm so happy the way the Bucs been playing. And hopefully we can go in there and beat the New Orleans Saints, come out with a nice win. And you guys played great yesterday.
Well, Greg, I appreciate those kind words. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure we do just what you said. Prepare well this week and go down there and get a win in New Orleans. So thanks for calling.
All right, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free wherever you can hear us. 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. He didn't get to be the leadoff guy, but he's in the two-hole. Tommy, our guy from New Jersey, is here with us on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, Coach? Hey, TJ. I'll say, yeah, Derek Jeter got moved back to second place today, second in the order. That's
yes,
okay.
So now you're batting two. Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. It's always cool to talk to you guys. I just flew home from the game this morning. Well, I got up in Kennedy this afternoon, so I just caught some of the earlier show. Hey, Coach, I was upstairs, and we were watching down at that first half. You know, I know the boost started to come out because you guys got to get better with that third down conversion because it just seems like the better teams in the league always they keep it more simple, I think, you know, picking up that 5, 6, 7, 8 yards and seems like we're just not snapping on those third down conversions, you know, to start to build momentum for the big, you know, good drives. That's on the offense. On the defense, I think the defensive line was getting a little tired in our last quarter. They did their best to get to the pass rush, and then they put a lot more pressure back on the secondary, which has been beat up this year, you know. But it was still good a couple of days down. I hooked up my friends and let me know what you think about the possible wild card still. I don't know if it's still in at hand or at reach. Okay? So stay well, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, well, Tommy, I appreciate you calling. And you know, there's no doubt third down offense and third down defense conversion is critical. You know, there's some things that we did really well. We took great care of the football. We ran the ball well, better than we have in the last couple weeks. But third down conversion, you know, we were 38, they were 39, and again, the magic number was going to be 40. You know, 40% conversion in that game was something that was very, very important, and we fell just a little short.
In terms of putting yourself behind in the down and distance, you said that earlier, that obviously affects third down conversions. You have had some penalties the last 2 or 3 weeks. What can you put your finger on as a reason why right now that you're hurting yourself sometimes and putting yourself in third and long, Coach?
Well, you know, you get behind the chains, it's totally different down, third and 9, third and 10, third and 12, you know, and some of those things are penalties. Some of them are, you know, like I said, the opening play of the game. We fumbled the football and we got on it, you know. But, you know, certain games you kind of know what's going to be needed. And in this game, you kind of knew that if you could be in between 40 and 50% conversion, that was going to be what was needed. And like I said, we came up short. But what is that? That's one more or two more third down conversions. And certainly, you know, we had a short one there we could have got, we didn't get. You know, there's some that – you know, you don't throw good money after bad. If it's a real lousy situation. You know, sometimes it's okay to punt and go play defense and get the ball back. As long as they don't score, it's really just a continuation of the drive. Now, if they score, that's a different story. But we need to get better on third down. It's certainly one of our key points that we talk about all the time and we practice all the time. And Tommy hit on something, you know. We got to make sure that everybody's on the same page when we're executing on third down. And for the most part, we are. There's a couple breakdowns that, you know, I put that on me. If there's any confusion, that's on the coach.
All right, back to the phones. One more here while we have time in this segment. Scott is in Brandon. You are up next on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show as always. Coach, I got a couple of tough questions for you. I don't want to put you on the spot where you have to criticize players, but on Mark Barron, I'm curious. My observations of Mark Barron is I haven't seen him make the impact plays, last plays that I saw him make early on. I've seen him a couple of steps behind a receiver a few times. So is he making mental mistakes? Or I just would like you to comment on that. And another tough one on Josh. I love Josh. I'm a big fan. But one of the concerns with Josh is the accuracy. And we see it at times where Josh just looks out of sync, particularly on the 10 to 20-yard passes. And is that something that I'm sure you guys are aware of, but is that coachable or is that just part of the package with Josh? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Well, Scott, I understand the concern, especially let's start with Mark. You know, I thought Mark out at Denver played probably one of his better games since he's been here. And I thought Sunday, with the exception of one or two plays, I thought, again, he played consistently. But there are a couple plays Sunday that I know he'd like to have back, and as would I. But I think Mark's fine. I think he's getting better. And, again, he's a rookie who's learning NFL football and NFL secondary play. But I think he's going to be a tremendous player, and I think he's actually doing pretty well as a rookie. As far as Josh goes, you know, there were some things – I didn't feel like he was really in sync in the first half. And I told you that when we were walking off, TJ. I said, we just got to slow it down a little bit. But I thought what he did, and credit to Josh and to the entire offense, is they came out and, you know, scored 21 points in the second half. Now, the problem is we could have and should have done that in the first half. And then it's a 42-point game, and you're feeling pretty good about it. So what we need to do is, if things are going a little bit rocky at the beginning, we have to be able to do that before we go into the half. Kind of slow down, reset, and go out and do what we do offensively. Because when we're all on the same page and when we're all clicking, I think it's a dangerous offense. We kind of did some things that, you know, self-inflicted wounds, as I said earlier, that put us behind the chains and made it a little more difficult. So, but we'll get that straightened out, and we got a real tough game coming up, but one that we're, you know, chomping at the bit to prepare for, because we got to get this taste out of our mouth.
That is the head coach, Greg Schiano. It is Buccaneers Total Access, and it's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. We'll be back with more of your calls and comments, and we'll talk more about the New Orleans Saints as well. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we are back in here. It is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach. We will talk about the New Orleans Saints coming up. And we will also take your phone calls in just a couple of moments. So, again, I like to do this for people just joining us, Coach, live here in the 5 p.m. hour on Monday that are just getting off work, whatever the case is. Just give me an overall thought here on the Philadelphia game, putting it behind you and getting ready to go play the New Orleans Saints.
Well, excited about playing the New Orleans Saints. That last one, as we talked about, there was a lot of opportunities that fell by the wayside, and my hat goes to off to the Philadelphia Eagles. They did a good job. They found a way to finish out that game in the last two possessions, and they scored. And you know, we should know better than anyone, right? We did it up at Carolina and found a way to come back and win that game. And you know, we were down 11. And we need to be able to close that out. No matter how things went before in the game, whether we thought we should have played better or not played, it doesn't matter. You're up 11 points, you got to find a way to win, and we didn't do it. So you're right. We're looking forward now to New Orleans, and we got to find a way to get prepared and get down there and go play our best game of the year.
All right, we go back to the phones. Here is Neo in Tampa. You are up next here with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Neo.
Hey, TJ, coach. How are you today, guys?
Doing great, Neo. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Just wanted to know that I am a huge Bucs fan, and there won't be any other reason for me to call, but it's easier as a fan to jump on the could've, would've, didn't. But the way I'm seeing it is we got a young team, a good team, and now we got to move on to New Orleans, and I still believe that we got hope for the future, and that's the best we can cling on to. Not to mention, you guys played a good game. The Eagles made a play, too. That's where they get paid as well. So, hey, let's go Bucs. Keep them up.
Well, Nate, I appreciate it. And, you know, you asked me how I'm doing. I'm telling you I'm doing great. And that's because, you know what, we're very blessed to be coaching and playing in this league. And we're gonna regroup and get this thing going in the right direction. We've kind of had a season of streaks here, you know, and we got to get a new streak going. And that's a winning streak.
All right, back to the phones. Dave is next in Tampa on Buccaneers Total Access here. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
You know, Monday after a loss again. You know, not a great Monday. You know, got a couple of really a tough question for you. This has been, you know, it's been around and everyone was talking about today. And I know you've had it asked you a lot and, you know, kind of bring it out to hear the answer from you. We love second guessing. It's, you know, it's what we do after a loss. And, you know, it comes down to it. And my question is, I love your coaching style. I love what you've done to the Bucs. I'm not overly, you know, criticizing, you know, anything globally. But, you know, it's the one thing that we're not going to – I don't think anybody here is going to take offense to is that the defense has been the weakness of the Bucs, and especially the secondary. We're last in the league in the secondary and against the pass. So my question is that, you know, it goes back to that 3rd and 7, and I know it's been asked a lot, but – yeah, if we get the first down, the game is over. But it seems like this game, the Washington game, the Atlanta game, it's like we're putting our defense out there. And I know you'd love to do that. You have the defense, you get the final stop, you know, you win the game. But on a team that the strength is our offense, it's Vincent Jackson ripping the ball out of the air or Dallas Clark or Mike Williams catching the ball. And that's where we put our free agent money rather than an inexperienced secondary, which unfortunately can't seem to stop many quarterbacks. And I just kind of wondered, do you have confidence that the defense was going to stop them if we don't get the first down, you know, and just didn't burn that clock? Or, you know, that's just my question, is it just you have confidence in the defense and you're willing to ride it on them? Or, you know, maybe in hindsight, should you have really put it with the strength, which is the offense? And a good luck. I'll be seeing you in New Orleans. We're going up with some friends, so go Bucs.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dave. And look, I think it's a very justifiable question. I don't take offense to any of the questions. Certainly, you know, in retrospect, you look back and you say, well, should we have maybe thrown the ball 3rd and 8? Some things had not been going our way. If you look at that series right there, you know, we're going to be 3rd and 4 and we get a holding penalty, kicks us back to 2nd and 18. And I wanted to make sure that if you play the odds and with our punter, and as I mentioned earlier, that we're going to boom one and pin them back at least inside the 20 and maybe even further, that you make them go the long, hard way with no timeouts. And that's the decision at that time. And quite frankly, that's what I feel. I understand your point about with Vincent Jackson and Josh Freeman and our weapons. There's no doubt that's another way to play it. But, you know, at that point, they had scored 16 points and had scored only one time, and that was the series before. But I felt like we were still getting pressure on the quarterback and that we'd have now a situation where they had no timeouts. They'd have to throw. And, you know, look, I'm disappointed that we didn't come up with a stop, because that's all we needed was one stop and, you know, the game's over. But we didn't. So somebody asked at one point in these media things, was it a lack of confidence in the offense? And certainly the answer is no. It's more of I have a confidence in the defense, and I thought that we would have stopped them and not had risked turning the ball over on our side of the field, because anytime you do throw the ball, even if it's a low risk pass, there's an opportunity there. And I just felt like we were better off punting it away and stopping them, and as it turns out, that wasn't the case.
Again, we'll continue on the phones. Nathan is in Tampa. You are next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Just a long time season ticket holder here, and, you know, I want to first of all say I think you're doing a great job with the attitude, and the way we're playing is much better than the previous couple of years. But I do have one concern that I've been watching football and actually playing football a long time, and Josh Freeman just it just seems like if everything doesn't go exactly the way it's planned, things seem to go wrong. Yesterday, a prime example, Nick Foles under constant pressure, getting sacked 6 times on the road, hangs in there and stands in the pressure and delivers, whereas Josh does that some other times, falls off. And it's hard to watch that time and time again when it seems like everything around him is going fairly well. Prime example, yesterday in a 4-minute offense, we're trying to run the clock out, and he snaps the ball 3 times in a row at 8 or more seconds. When the objectives are run the clock out, and at the end of the game, they have 2 seconds. What is your long-term plan to fix things like that that should be ingrained in a quarterback from the get-go? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Nathan, I agree. I was a little – there was one time, and we chart that, and we know where we're snapping the ball, and we have a guy who's recording that and letting me know right as we go. So we did slow it down, but there was one play that we did snap with more time on the clock than, you know, we wanted to. And some of those things you got to make sure in case you have to – if they stem the defense, you have to be able to change the play. So you give yourself just a little bit of time. But, you know, again, we were still outside the – the 2-minute warning, and we are in four minute offense, but I don't ever want the quarterback to get, you know, caught in a spot. But that's not an excuse, because 8 seconds is way too much to snap the ball. I agree with that. Long term, I just think you have to look at, you know, you don't have to go back too many weeks where you're saying this guy is the next coming. You know, he's doing everything that you want your quarterback to do. He's hitting the deep ball. He's hitting the intermediate pass. He's throwing the screen well. I mean, those are all very, very hard things to do. And I just think that we haven't played, you know, he actually in the Denver game had some streaks where he was playing extremely well. And then it was a little bit of a cold streak. But then if you look at the end of the game, he's playing extremely well to get us back in contention and cut it to a 1-score game. So, you know, I think that, you know, this is a guy who's 24 years old. He's in a new system and quarterbacking a new system. And I think he's had some great, great moments. And I think there's also been some that he and I both wish we could redo. But again, this is a guy who is definitely on the come, understands what we're doing, and is only getting better. And you know, I can't say that this week is gonna, but I truly believe that he's gonna play great this week. And if I ever don't feel that, then that's a different story. But I do. I believe in this kid, and I think he's going to do a great job. And the best days are ahead for Josh Freeman and for the Bucs.
And to further enumerate that point, on the road at Minnesota, you saw on the final clinching drive, really, of that game, 1 3rd and long after another that he was able to complete, I believe 5 of them that were 3rd and 5 or greater, for a key touchdown in that game at the end of the Carolina game with the game on the line. You saw huge plays, and it's not just him, by the offense, but with him. And, you know, oftentimes, Coach, you know this, what happened last is the freshest in your mind, where it didn't work out on Sunday. And so we got to keep in mind that there were some big moments, especially on the road in hostile territory, where Josh and the offense have gotten it done, right? We got to keep that in perspective.
Well, there's no doubt. But yet again, I don't take any offense, because if I'm a fan and all I have to do is cheer loud, that's the biggest effect I can have in the game. You know, you feel helpless. You're sitting there saying, well, why can't we do this? This is our team. I love that they care that much about it. You know, that's what you love about Buccaneer fans. They care about how we're playing and what we're doing, and it's their team. And, you know, we have some control. I have some control. The players have control. So although it's frustrating to us, we can do something about it. To the fans, really, you know, they want to know why, and I understand that. And all I can tell them is that, you know, we are doing everything we can to be as efficient and as smart, yet work as hard as we can to get there. And sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight. We're going to keep getting better. This is predominantly a young football team with just enough age and experience to lead us. And I really like the way we're set up. And again, the best thing about it is we have another opportunity this week to go make it right.
Doug Martin, I want to talk about him for just a second. Over 100 yards, now the Buccaneer rookie rushing record in a single season running the football, surpassing Cadillac Williams yesterday in the game with 3 more games still to go. You know, it's kind of funny how this works again. Welcome to the NFL, where a lot of the talk had been the last couple of weeks about being able to run the ball. You have a 100-yard rush game there yesterday. Just say something about the way that Doug Martin and the line and the rush game came together yesterday against the Eagles.
Well, I tell you what, I thought that the line did an excellent job against a front that had changed up a little bit. You know, they had a coaching change at the defensive line, and there were some different schemes. And we knew there would be. Weren't quite sure what it would be, but I thought our guys did a good job of adapting to the new looks. And I thought Doug ran really, really well. I mean, he ran hard. He ran smart. Protected the football. And again, you know, he had whatever he had, 100 and something yards.
128, right?
Yeah, 128 yards. But he was close to ripping off about four or five of those. And that would have put, you know, that would have been a 200-yard day. And some of those days this year, he's done that. So that's encouraging because, you know, we're going to keep getting better. We're going to keep working at it and finish a little longer, finish a little harder with our blocks. And he's going to pick his foot up just a little bit more. And some of those are going to pop and be those long runs that we've grown accustomed to with Doug. And you know, that's how you turn a 128-yard day into a 200-yard day.
You mentioned the fans and the atmosphere. Quite an atmosphere there at Raymond James Stadium. Yesterday, the Super Bowl reunion was going on. I know you got a chance about an hour and a half or so before the game to see John Gruden and some of the players that were down there on the field. And they were obviously on the field at halftime while you were in the locker room. What about the atmosphere, just overall, real quick there against the Eagles and to have those guys back and in and around Raymond James Stadium, Coach?
Well, first, it was great to see all those great players and great coaches that were back for the reunion. You know, certainly the pride of the organization, that Super Bowl trophy, something that's so hard to obtain. You know, you look at some teams that have been in this league a long time, don't have a Super Bowl trophy. So, you know, for us to have one in the building, and that certainly is the standard, the goal that we set around here, is that's what we're here to do. We're here to bring more of those back to One Buck and into the Tampa Bay area. But the thing that I really was caught by was, you know, what a great atmosphere we had in that stadium. And that's one of the bigger disappointments for me, is that we had all our fans there. The place was packed. There wasn't an open seat. And to see, you know, to be able to capitalize on that, give the fans an exciting win and then get ready for the next home game. I've said it already, but I hope our fans understand that it's coming, and just keep the support is definitely. I can tell you that the home field advantage was as good as it's been since we've been here. And I look forward to many, many, many more days where we're playing in front of a packed house and bringing home wins and not disappointing losses like Sunday.
Real quick, here is Jim in St. Pete before we wrap this segment up here on Buccaneers Total Access. Actually, Jim is gone, I'm told. So why don't we go ahead and wrap this segment up. We'll come back. We'll talk New Orleans Saints. Stay with us for that as Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano is brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in on this Monday night. Thanks for being with us here this evening as the Buccaneers get set to travel to New Orleans, trip to the Superdome against the NFC South rival, the New Orleans Saints. It'll be a rematch of a game here in Tampa, won by New Orleans 28-21. And the Saints come off of a loss on Sunday evening in New York. So they will come back home now for this matchup. And again, this is the second go around with New Orleans, having seen them back now about 6 weeks ago. And Coach, what stands out here as you get ready to go play the Saints at the Superdome?
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, TJ. I've been mostly working on wrapping up yesterday's game, meeting with some players and our staff. As soon as we're done here, I'll go get briefed on personnel, any changes that have occurred since last game. And then the rest of this evening, I'll be watching New Orleans before we start game planning tomorrow morning. So probably, you know, what my knowledge is what kind of what we saw first go around. You know, I don't have a lot of years of experience. I have no years of experience against these guys other than that last game. So I know this, as long as that quarterback's still playing, that's weapon and thing number one that we got to be concerned with. And then you just go down the list from there.
In the first matchup with Drew Brees and with that offense, reflecting on that game, what must you do better against him or try to do better against him this go around at the Superdome?
Well, the one thing that just rings in my head is that he is so good at seeing what you're doing, you know, so we're going to have to disguise better than we did. And, you know, one thing he did is when we gave him a three-man rush, he held the football. And, you know, young guys maybe sometimes don't get that, but obviously this guy, he's as experienced and as good as there is. And, you know, third down, he just – that was a real weakness in the first game. They converted at a 60% rate, and if that occurs, it'll be very hard to win. So we're going to have to really be better on third down. And, you know, when you look at the total yards, that's not what concerns me as much as the third down and the points. You know, if we can play good red zone defense and hold them on third down, and I think the points will be limited. He's good. You know, we got to get ready to play a great game.
The loud environment. I mean, it's loud a lot of places in the NFL, but this dome is one of the louder venues. Just talk about the problems that will pose with silent counts that will have to be used, a lot of times hand signals, because it is very tough to hear, especially second down, third down, those kind of situations, Coach.
Well, you know, fortunately we've had experience, you know, as this current 2012 team playing in domes with the Minnesota experience and the Dallas experience. And, you know, we'll go down there. I'm sure it's going to be a hostile environment. They're going to be a cranky group of fans after Sunday night's game. So we're certainly going to have a huge challenge in front of us, but one that I think, you know, we have the mechanisms in place to handle it. And, you know, with our offensive players, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think Josh will handle it fine. And, you know, between Mike Williams and Vince Jackson and all the rest of the guys, they'll be ready for it, and we'll go out and get it.
In about 30 seconds here, the ability to take the crowd out of the game. You did that well on several occasions. I mean, it was loud in Oakland, for example, and you make plays, you take the crowd out of the game. That's a byproduct of making plays and making things happen, right?
Well, you make them early, it really helps, you know, because the whole key is to never let that crowd get going. Because when they're never more fired up than they are at the beginning of the game, and if you can keep them kind of slowed down at the beginning, then it's a matter of wait, you know, just holding off that explosion. And if you can do that, you know, I remember at Minnesota we were doing a great job, and then they got a sack there, and there was that little scuffle, and then they hit the run, and now you've woke up the sleeping giant, right? So we need to do a good job of just playing steady, good Buccaneer football, and that works no matter what the environment.
And we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, so the Buccaneers get set to take on the New Orleans Saints. That'll be Sunday, 1 o'clock from the Big Easy. We'll be on the air at noon, and we'll be back next Monday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It is brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.